Go to Genesis chapter 10. This is immediately after the flood. It gives the generations of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And one of the sons of Ham, go to verse 16. All right, yeah, but actually it's verse 15. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Now, of those, seven of the families of Canaan, a descendant of Ham, were occupied the land that is Israel. And this is the first mention of the Jebusite in the Bible. Now let's go to Numbers 13.
How do you find out what all those types mean?
Mean like what?
Well, you know,
like Jebusite is hope and.
Yeah, all that stuff.
That's me.
Pardon me?
That's me. You don't have to believe me. But it's the last enemy to be destroyed, and it's the last one of the seven tribes to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Hope is the last enemy to be destroyed. No, there's no. You can't go to any reference book and get this.
Yeah, okay.
You can get all kinds of hints at it in the Talmud and the Midrash and other places.
I've always wondered where that came from. I see, you know, if you understand this, then that falls into place.
Right, because you are the temple, you are the land, and these and those. In my opinion, and I think I've proven it strongly over the years, the seven tribes occupy the seven mountains of your subconscious, which are the seven high places, which are the source of your each of the seven has. Remember, let me go to Revelation 13 real quick. Just don't go there, just stay where you are. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Every purpose, every one of these former usurpers, or the ones on the land of the promise, which is the type, are now in you and I and all men. And the process of sanctification, each one of those has the seven. Each of the crowns, horns had seven crowns. So it's a total of 70. So each one of the seven mountains has 10 subheads. And those are the 70, your Sanhedrin within you, the source of your voices. You got it?
Or we could each be special, and it could just be a series of
Well, this really talks to me about the thing you've always discussed about having to have all these witnesses, because the gospel has to be right from the beginning to the end. You can't pull the middle out and make a doctrine out of it.
That's right.
So you went to the end of this, but it coincides with
the beginning,
Genesis, and then it all.
And then when you study the actual conquest of Israel. It identifies each one of those battles, which makes it clear, because we now battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, blasphemies in the high places. And upon each one of the heads was the name blasphemy, because they deny the foundation. Is that clear now? Can you understand? I haven't probably gone through each specific detail of how this all came about, but it is. Now, I mean, I'm sorry I can't give you a source book to go to and find this.
I was going to say, I forgot to send you the link. But,
you know. I didn't get the key.
You know what, though? I saw there's a proverb I was reading yesterday. Hope deferred maketh a man,
right,
or rather, like, brings you down or something.
Right.
The Jebusites represent that perfectly, because they were the last. They were super important because they were the only ones left.
That's how I got that.
Yeah,
hope deferred
and
became
deferred
the Jebusites.
Because they're still always, they were still there, always projecting it.
I know.
Well, I know you know. Okay. I know.
And Ellen just said, I understand completely.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Hope is almost stressed that morning.
You've got to forget it. You forget who you're talking to.
Oh, you're going to have to get rid of this
spiritual idiot.
You're right. It's not my business. I can only talk, and whether you believe or see or not is not my business. All right, where did I say to go? Genesis. Huh? No, Numbers. Numbers 13. They lived in the mountains of southern Palestine, in Numbers 13. Let's go. And this is a report of the spies. Okay, this is when the two spies. Who are the two spies?
Joshua and Caleb.
Okay. Let's just start. And this is the report of the spies. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they were showing, they brought these huge things of fruit that they carried back on their... Do you understand? I mean, you guys got to hear this. I mean, you might have forgotten. I spent 12 hours a day in the libraries, mostly Temple Emmanuel, but of all of several other libraries, to dig all this stuff out, to dig the feasts out, the meaning of all of these things. I mean, it was a massive, massive undertaking. And the three witnesses that I had to have for each one were from, the Scripture, the Spirit. I mean, this is stuff that I saw when I became a believer. I saw the enemy, and it was me. And it was all of these things. And then Revelation became reality because it was the overriding thing over all of time, and it was always true. And so it's like I didn't make this up or read a book. It's something that I saw the moment I became a believer, and I spent all those years giving it flesh. Does everybody understand that? What?
I do understand that.
You've got a strange look on your face.
It's like a magnificent obsession. I remember the time period when this was going on.
Yeah, it was the only thing that moved me.
Yeah, it was like we were all basically ready to be opened up to this stuff, and that's what brought us here, I suppose.
Well, it may not have brought you here, but it's what kept you here.
Yeah.
All right. Where are I forgot. I'm 13. Okay. And they told him, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. Now what I've tried to tell you, in effect, I've became a spy. And I've visited the promise on several occasions. and it's perfect. It's exactly everything that you could possibly dream of, but nothing that you could hope for. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him. And so this, I'm trying to share with you my own experience.
We can't hope for it because we don't have the equipment to even imagine what it could be.
Okay. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak, the giant there. You got all these giants that are your enemies, all of your the things that you are afraid of. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of all these innumerable things. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, Caleb is the one that spoke this. And remember, the best that you and I can be is a friend of the bridegroom. You after the flesh can be nothing except a friend of the bridegroom. And from that friend of the bridegroom comes the bride. Caleb was a Kenite. He wasn't even an Israeli. "For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched in the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then will He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not.' But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed them among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I'll make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they.'" Now, every single time for 32 years that I've said to somebody new, "Abandon yourself, take no thought for your life, cast down all of your hopes and dreams," and the only way you can cast them down is to see their vanity and empty. He said to me, "Well, if I did that, I'd just go sit in a corner and die. I can't do that." If they didn't say it, their actions proved it. How can you possibly expect us to give up hope? Hope is what is the engine of our life. Without hope, we're in nothing. Hope, remember, is the expectation of some good thing. John sent me an email this morning. Or last night sometime. I saw it this morning anyway. Does everybody know who Henry Nguyen is?
No.
Yes, heard of him.
Huh? Who is he?
He's an author, writer.
Writer.
Legend type guy.
He's a very, very, we've interviewed him at least, well, several times on the door before. We've interviewed him once since we took it over. He's an incredible theologian.
What's his name?
Henry Nguyen.
That's fantastic.
N-E-U-W-I-N. Henry with an I.
Anyway, one of his spiritual overseers prayed this for him. May all your expectations be frustrated. May all your desires be withered into nothingness, that you may experience the powerlessness and poverty of a child and sing and dance in the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It must have dawned on you by now that the fullness of Him is only in your poverty. He cannot, He will not occupy where you are, and He won't help you as long as you are trying. Somewhere, somehow, this has to penetrate. Because without it, you will never, unless it penetrates, unless you agree that your hopes and your wishes and your desires and even your prayers are nothing, and you can come to Him in that emptiness, then you will never know the faith of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is that clear to everybody? Because the faith of God will not be shared. He will not give it so that you can use it on your idolatry. Let's go to Zechariah 10. Remember the Jebusite? The word buck over the Jebusite? Jebusite is the word Jebus, Jebusai. Mebusai is the word for downtreading or subjugation. And Tebusai is the word for ruin and downfall. And this gives a supreme hint of the meaning. And so Henry Nguyen's, or this friend's prayer for him, was right on. Because it destroyed the hope and anything other than the resurrection. Now, the only way, from my own experience, the only way that can be done is either by doing or receiving or getting the thing that you hope for or getting close enough to it so that you, by empathy, can see its emptiness and vanity. Now, but you can't do that unless you have enough intellectual integrity to take your dreams and your hopes to the end. You stop them. You stop it at some imagined honeymoon that you're going to have with your... It's like a sexual fantasy. You have a great sexual fantasy over some person, hopefully of the opposite sex, and you stop there at the climax. You don't live it through so you can see the emptiness and vanity of it. The same with drug addiction. The same with alcoholism. You don't... I just need a hit. I need. Your mind isn't... You don't have enough intellectual integrity to take it all the way to remember the futility and emptiness and vanity of it. Well, you've got to do the same thing with your idiotic dreams and ambitions and hopes. So you can come to this place of nothingness and empty. Oh no, I've got this great idea and I've got this great plan and this is what I hope. And you, what do? You try to take God where He isn't. He's not in your imagined universe. Oh yeah, you put Christ in Dungeons and Dragons or in any of these idiotic video games, He's the first one to be killed. Then you will understand, maybe, and you will get it at a gut level that you are crucifying the Son of God afresh by everything that you think you need to do. Anybody have any response?
I was watching a 60 Minutes about it yesterday, and it was about this guy, American Asian, who grew up in New York and very poor and everything. His father left him and stuff. He went into the testing stuff. He won some stuff, some medals and stuff and everything. And then he came back to New York in a city there, and he opened up this.
In the inner city.
Right, where, yeah, that's what they said. And he opened up this gym and stuff, and he was taking all these poor, poverty stricken, you know, kids and teaching them to how to fence. And, you know, and.
To be Olympic champions.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of hopes and dreams and aspirations and expectations, you know, there.
That's fine. That's what he's doing. He's doing the work of the Lord so that those folks can see that getting their hope and dream is still emptiness and vanity. Oh, I agree. That's why I've always told the kids here, and I hope that they told the teachers that. Equip them so that they can go and do everything and then come to the end. All right, let's go to no, not yet. Let's go to Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Joshua first. Joshua 18. Okay, now remember, when Israel first came into the Promised Land, there were these different high places in the Promised Land. And in order to overcome them, what they did is they set up the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was set up on each one of those high places until the temple in Jerusalem was fully dedicated. Once the temple was fully dedicated, then all the high place activity had to cease. But Israel continued to worship on the high places. They continued in these mind games. Do you understand that most people's prayers are sorcery? They use the name of Christ as a mantra or as an amulet to get things. That's not what Christianity is about. All right, so the tabernacle has been set up in Shiloh, and then it's Benjamin. Now it's set up in Benjamin, and we're going to verse 28.
Comment on what you said. It's like Christianity is not about that. It's about to get back the opposite of that. To get rid of things.
Okay, now, what happened here is, in verse 21, now the cities of the tribe of the children of Benjamin, according to their families, were Jericho, Bethag, all those families. I'm not going to read all those. Bunch of cities. And then finally, verse 28, and Zelah, Eleph, and Jebusai, which is Jerusalem. Now, well, let's look at, let's go to 2 Samuel, and we're going to see how they got it. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people, Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Now again, David was the type of Christ. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them. Now Hebron was another high place. It's one of the seven high places. And the King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in here. Thinking David cannot come in there. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called in the city of David, and David built round about from Milo and inward, and David went on and grew great in the Lord, etc. Now, what does it mean that the blind and the halt can't go into Jerusalem? The word healed in Greek is ionimai, something like that. I can never pronounce these words. But it means not just I got my toenail healed of a hangnail. It means that you are complete, perfect. And the only ones that enter into Jerusalem are those that have completed the law, met the law, see everything perfectly, and are in their eyes, as they are in God's eyes, been perfected by one offering. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do automatically. Now, there's a whole lot more about... We're never going to get done. We'll go to Zechariah tomorrow. But please, go to war with those idiotic hopes and dreams and niceties and all these little images that your mind comes up with. They'll only disappoint. Can you hear that? Are the Jebusites gone this day? Mr. Buckner? Huh?
They left last month.
Okay. Anybody have any thoughts or response?
I just was given the sense of what privilege it is to hear and be a part of this. We're filling up the affliction that's lacking, and that's what
I'd much rather be somewhere else. I'd much rather just go around and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I'd be pretty good at that. I would if I, because I'd be nice.
Where would be your headquarters? I promise you, you can't do it.
Well, I can now, but. But that's why, can you see what, I mean, everybody in the universe doesn't, I mean, all the people who name the name of Christ don't have to do what we do. I've told you that a million times, and I don't, you know, that's why I don't look down at anybody else unless they're committing fraud.
That's one of the worst oxymorons, the self-seeking Christian.
It's not possible. The words are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and yet that's what that doctrine creates. Christian get something for himself in the name of God. That's probably why people don't like Christians.
You remember why?
Get something
else. Yeah, like God needs their money.
That's a pure, bald-faced lie.
Yeah.
No, I'm not you. That bullshit about you should get things so you can give things. That's a 2-year-old rationalization. Fiona wouldn't say that.
it's important to remember that. Remember, I've talked a lot about the Cerinthian heresy, about the first century Christian, the Cerinthus, who taught that gain was godliness. But do you know what else he taught that really made the disciples even more angry at him? He taught that God was going to return to earth and set up a kingdom on earth for 1,000 years.
Now we know where Calvin's studying.
The school of Cerinthius. Or Cerinthus. I keep getting it. That was a great quote you found.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
From Henry Newman. Newman.
I should have been working.
Could you read that again?
This should be our prayer for each other. May all your expectations be frustrated. May all your desires be withered into nothingness, that you may experience the powerlessness and poverty of a child and sing and dance in the love of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We could make that the new, you know, instead of the world's pretty much only religious side, we could put that under on the masthead of the banner.
Okay. Have T-shirts.
Or we could highlight it on the Trinity.
If you had any, if we understood, that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come in earth. The only way the kingdom can come in earth is when the earthen vessel is empty and broken.
When your kingdom is
gone. When your kingdom is gone.
That's what that song God Bless America says. It's just in a little different way.
The nations are as nothing before him.
The what?
The nations are as nothing before him. Anybody else? Wade, will you introduce your visitor?
My wife, Dana Wright Cunningham.
Dana, what do you think? Is this the last time you're ever coming to morning Bible study?
No.
Not making any promises. All right, take it, big guy. Ronnie, I already got my coffee this morning.
Okay.
So you're sure?
Oil machine.